Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Shannon. Ewan's playing basketball today, needs to get his priorities straight. But today I'm joined by James.
Yes, good evening.
Special guest, Stephen Impson.
Good day, if you're listening to this in the day.
And for the first time in, what I'm going to say, 3 or 4 months, Mr. Brody Gibbons, former regular podcaster.
Hello, now also a guest star. I apologize for my scratchy throat.
It'll be one and done.
I'm going through a bout of COVID. I'm probably going to die, so this will be my last podcast. Thank you. Thank you for having me on my deathbed.
Glad we could record this last sort of
I know, we have
you.
It forever.
My farewell.
So honored.
Yeah.
Just quickly, I think it'd be a miss not to touch on what's happening with Facebook today. We're obviously recording this on Thursday with a direct happening. What is everyone's taken? I feel like I've seen at least a few of you put your thoughts out there today.
I don't understand it as much. So my thoughts are very just reactive and uneducated. So ignore me.
I don't know. I feel like what the government... excuse me. What have you given me, Brody? I feel like what the government are doing is kind of stupid. Like, the internet, you're not meant to have to pay to post links. That's just what the internet's about. But Facebook doing this is like really trash as well. There's nobody in this equation is a good guy, and just everybody who has done any sort of like Facebook news community is just kind of screwed over in the collateral, and it really sucks.
Yeah, I feel like definitely people are swinging one way or the other, and I feel like it's definitely not black or white either way, and I don't think anyone expected this. Obviously, it affects us for people that get our content on Facebook, but yeah, you can get it anywhere else, Twitter, go to the website, just wait for our podcast each week, however you want to do it. It won't be on Facebook for at least the near future, although we could wake up and it'll just be back again. Like, I don't know what to expect at this point.
That's the worst part, I reckon. Just like, it could change tomorrow, it might not. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. On that note, let's get straight into the first Nintendo Direct since September 2019. It was 50 minutes, but I found that it went quicker. I don't know. It was weirdly paced. James, what did you think of it, and what were the standouts?
I don't know. I don't really know how I feel. It wasn't, obviously, there was always, I mean, people say, like, don't get your expectations up. Like, they've said first half of this year and stuff. But you can't help but get a little bit excited because it's the first one in almost 2 years. So, I don't know. I was a bit, I still am lukewarm. My personal highlight, of course, is probably No More Heroes 3. That's looking really good. Beyond that, nothing else like super exciting for me, I'm sorry to say. Yeah, I think I hope that there's more Zelda coming is really my main takeaway at the moment.
Yeah, I think that was definitely the one thing everyone expected to see more of, and it was definitely not a high point.
But to be fair, like, I feel like with Mario, they announced that they were doing a Mario Direct, and it was specifically around Mario's anniversary. Like, they did, I'm assuming they'll do the same for Zelda, and maybe those games, that whatever experiences they're planning for Zelda, are a little bit further away, so obviously they wouldn't appear here. But yeah, we'll get into that later, I think, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Stephen, what about you? Yeah. What stood out?
I think I can't explain why, but I really am excited about Mario Golf. Like, ever since the GameCube one, I've just really jumped on every Mario Golf that's come out, and I don't know if this is going to be good or not, but I'm keen to try it because something about Mario Golf just gets me interested, and I just keep playing it every time. So I'm, yeah, really keen for that. But I was a little bit, I think, like James, I try to temper my expectations for these, expect nothing and you'll never be disappointed sort of deal. But like, I don't know, it was around the time of, you know, the actual anniversary of the original Zelda releasing. So I thought we might get a bit more than we did. But yeah, as James said, it might be its own thing a little bit later. And I should probably stop setting my expectations even as high as I did today, which is not terribly high.
Let's just talk about Zelda now, because you've both mentioned it. I know Brody asked me before we started recording and before you both joined if Skyward Sword was one of the better Zelda games, and I sort of said I didn't think so, but then again, I think I only played a few hours for whatever reason. But yeah, I was of the sentiment that people liked it and it did some interesting things with the story, but it definitely isn't up there in terms of 3D Zelda games.
I think Skyward Sword was like they tried to reinvent it quite a bit. I remember, I don't know if you remember, Steve, I don't expect anyone else to, but like they did when they released the artwork of Link without his sword or with Fee or Fi in the background or something, and there was so many questions because it was meant to be this big reinvention, and then it turned out to kind of just be, I don't know what it was, but there was something about it, like the pacing is all over the place, like it, but into its credit, like I feel like it has some really good dungeons, really good bosses, but it's just the kind of shit in between that they tried to change up the structure of the game and stuff that didn't land as well as I think they wanted it to. Yeah. That being said, story-wise, and I think some people don't realize this, like I was speaking to some friends today, it's actually the first game chronologically. So it really tells the story of the Master Sword and the formation of the evil that kind of pervades the series, you know, in every other game, and I think from a story perspective that's really interesting, but yeah, I think I'll let Stephen probably chime in.
Yeah, well, I was gonna ask Stephen if I feel like they made a point more than Nintendo normally would, that like they made a point of things that were in Breath of the Wild that started in this, like to sort of tell people that this is an open world. Like, do you feel like that's the reason they made that point, so people aren't disappointed not knowing much about Skyward Sword that have played Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, I think because they're going to have this whole audience who have gotten into Zelda because of Breath of the Wild, and if they go back and play literally any other Zelda game prior, it's just not quite the same thing. So I guess pointing out that there is some sort of shared DNA and some elements of Breath of the Wild sort of inspired by, or at least sourced from from Skyward Sword, I think they might be drawing a pretty long bow. But then again, I didn't finish Skyward Sword the first time, so I haven't, you know, seen it all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I am a little bit excited to play it this time around, to be honest.
I think as a Zelda game, it's the one you're most likely to kind of bounce off of, besides Majora's Mask. I feel like a lot of people definitely didn't finish it, which might be why they picked it.
I mean, you've literally just named the only two, like, console 3D Zelda games I haven't finished. So, yeah, you got me to a T.
But no motion controls is interesting. Obviously, you can still do them, right? But, like, you've got the button options as well, which I think will be really nice, because a lot of people did not like the motion controls. I actually didn't mind them,
I think, yeah, they obviously had to go somehow without motion controls because it would suck to be a Switch Lite owner. Yeah. But, like, I was really curious about how they would do this, and it looks like from what I could tell, while you're locked on, the right stick acts as, like, your sword swiping motion because for people who haven't
played... Kind of like Metal Gear Rising.
Yeah, a little bit like Metal Gear Rising, actually. But, yeah, like, if you haven't played this, there'll be certain enemies and puzzles and stuff that require you to approach with a sword stroke in a particular angle, like a diagonal angle or something like that. And I guess without changing all those, they wouldn't just be able to have it as a button press to attack sort of deal. So I think I'll be interested to see if this is overcomplicated for a lot of people, because I think having, you know, everyone's used to the right stick being camera, but if the right stick is camera but not when you're locked onto an enemy, it might be a little bit confusing for people who aren't prepared to have that change in controls. But it's probably about as good as they could do if they, you know, need to have a way to control this without motion controls and without fully re-engineering the game to not use them potentially.
I think going back to what Shannon said as well, Breath of the Wild, obviously they might be tempering expectations, but I feel like Zelda, like new Zelda fans are probably going to get confused regardless if they're playing any of the remasters or anything, if anything were to come out, because we've already had Link's Awakening, which was very different to Breath of the Wild. And like the other one, what's the other one? What we're talking about now, Skyward Sword, is very different to Breath of the Wild as well. Let's just say they port some other games over, they'll all be different as well. So, like, I think Zelda people, new Zelda fans especially, probably have to get ready
I was going to say, if this is the only Zelda game to come out this year to celebrate the anniversary, like, do you think they've made the right decision, or is that an awful decision in your eyes?
For me, I think it's a pretty shit decision. I understand story-wise why they would do it, and I think this game even came out to celebrate Zelda's 25th anniversary, maybe, or 30th or something.
Oh, gosh, I think you're right. Do you remember? It had, like, a special soundtrack CD
with it or some shit, and it's like, oh, cool.
Really I still have that in a bloody paper sleeve somewhere. Anyway.
Yeah, that's where it belongs. But, like, I think they definitely need to do... I was thinking today... 3D All-Stars and maybe 2D All-Stars. Maybe I'm being greedy, but, like, chuck all the portable games on one Switch game and chuck all the 3D games on the other.
Honestly, I've been playing Link's Awakening, the remake, recently, and I just can't stop thinking about how great it would be for the Oracles and a lot of the other, like
Minish Cap.
Games in, you know, a Link's Awakening style engine would just be incredible. So you might be asking too much, but I reckon
just like a shitty ROM dump that's $80. Like that sold pretty well last year for Nintendo. So
That's true. Like, I think, like, as far as which one to choose, I really hope this isn't the only thing that they have for the anniversary, because it makes sense from this is the next in line to get a remaster that hasn't already had one. Like, I get the logic there, but it's not considered by anybody that I'm aware of to be, like, a high point of the series. So it like seems Ocarina a strange of Time celebration. Yeah, exactly. That
is the one I think that would have the most, like, big normie appeal. And, like, when the Switch first came out, like, we were talking about how so many people who stopped playing games at the 64 level are back now. And I think bringing that game back in some form would probably be the best way to, money-wise. To
I feel like we'll see Ocarina, Twilight Princess and Wind Waker as a package in the same way.
Yeah, I think so too. But which is annoying because I want Majora's Mask. But then I was saying to Steve today they should do like includes bonus game, and then that's also Majora's Mask on there. Because if you do Ocarina, you might as well do Majora's.
Like, yeah, but that's like Galaxy 1 and 2. Like, that's just not how Nintendo works.
No, I just didn't think of that. That's really shit. You're right.
Brody, I feel like you don't have much to offer about Zelda, but that could be wrong. Like, is there in terms of excitement, is there any excitement here at all? Or is there anything from the Zelda franchise you would want to see to celebrate the anniversary?
No. I mean, I've never...
Thanks for coming.
I've never finished a Zelda game in my life. I've played, like, Ocarina a couple of times, bounced off, played Breath of the Wild, bounced off after an hour. The only one that, like, interests me thematically and, like, tonally in any way is Majora's Mask, but I get stressed out with
that's a Brody game.
The framing of the time and stuff, so...
I know so many people who say the exact same thing, so you're not alone.
So, no, Zelda's just one of those franchises I don't think is ever going to gel with me, unfortunately, so... But hey, I'm happy if people are happy with Skyward Sword, and if they're not, oh well, see you next year.
All right, let's move off of Zelda and chat. I know Stephen mentioned it, but I'm really excited for, I don't know, Brody is as well. Mario Golf. I expected to see it. We got it. It looks to be good. There's a story mode. There was a weird mode where you're sort of just racing to the end with power-ups. Looks to be everything I want from a sport game.
Mario can blow on other people's balls.
He can. That is a key selling feature confirmed.
Can you blow on your own balls?
I don't know if that would be productive, would it?
No, if it
maybe for his 40th anniversary.
He can do it with a lot of stretching.
Yeah. No, I thought it looked really good. Like, I'm always skeptical. Like, Mario Tennis, like, it's no secret at this point that I love Mario Tennis and even brought Brody in along for that ride. But yeah, there's never anyone online. I don't think there was, like, a month after launch. So I feel like unless you're playing with people, like, the longevity of those games are just never there.
Yeah.
Speaking of stretching, how do we feel about the art style? Like the everybody in their golfing outfits.
Very suave.
It's a bit weird. It's a bit like the memes you see of Mario, like, meshed with a real human. It freaked me out, I must say. Not a fan.
I love it. I think everyone looks much better looking, especially Wario.
Absolutely Wario.
Yeah.
He's handsome. I feel like Mario looks more elongated somehow.
Like, he's not what I mean. That speaking was my of point, stretching.
Yeah.
the ball blowing.
It was like Shannon this morning was like, why does Mario look like a man now? And I was like,
because he's wearing slacks.
He's not wearing his dumpy overalls.
Yeah. See what a tailored fit can do for you.
Speaking of Miitopia, which I completely thought was the mobile. About
Miitopia, No one mentioned Miitopia. No one mentioned Miitopia.
Literally ever in the last 10 years. Let's talk about Miitopia. I know nothing about it. I honestly thought it was the mobile game, but I feel like it must have released late in the 3DS life. Would that be right?
Yes. Yeah, it was super late. It was like a weird ultra casual RPG that was obviously used all the Miis on your 3DS, which kind of hooked into Street Pass a little bit. I can't remember how much the game hooked into Street Pass. Hopefully not a lot, because we don't have that anymore. But like, it's something that I was keen to try when it came out, but not $60 keen to try. And I feel like that might be what holds me off at this time as well, because it just doesn't look like $60 worth of game for me. But it'll go on sale one day, and I'll probably try it then.
I think because it's an RPG mixed with like a life sim, so I think it's kind of like the next step for people who have just gotten into games with like something like Animal Crossing. You know, you dress up your Mii and all that shit, send them on quests, and then in this new exciting Switch edition, you can get a horse, which is really cool.
I like how they really just focused on that feature. It was incredible.
And you can put makeup on your Mii now too. So like, we've just made so much progress, I think, in the last 4 years. But
truly,
100%. Like, I don't know if this is worth the $80, but I think it'll still have an audience. It's not. I don't think we're the audience, but I think it'll definitely have an audience with the Animal Crossing crowd, whoever you may be.
I really, really hope that it kind of brings Miis back into vogue a bit, because I don't really know
if I want that.
I want bloody that. What was the app that had Mii Photo in it? It was like Miitomo. That app was just ridiculously good. I want that app back so badly. Just like,
my whole house was like a shit post in that.
I just remember like we had these message threads going back and forth, and our Miis were just saying horrendous things to each other, and it was just something else. And you could do like the photo shoots. Bring it back, Nintendo. I will praise you forever if you do.
All right. The direct ended with Splatoon 3, which I don't think anyone expected, to be honest. We didn't really get to see much of it. I feel like people definitely wanted it. But no. I think what was the most surprising is Nintendo said first half games, and then we got this, which was next year. And what was there was that other Square Enix one that was also next year.
Projects. Maybe Triangle strategy or
how
something.
How could I forget?
Oh, that's pretty.
But Splatoon 3, like, I definitely played like maybe 10 or 20 hours. I think you played a bit, James, and I reckon, Stephen, you'd be a Splatoon fan. Is that right?
Yeah, gosh, I'm just being very well predicted on this episode.
And does this do anything for you? Were you expecting a completely new title?
No, I really wasn't. I feel like, I don't know, this is totally off topic, but like, we haven't had a new Mario Kart, but we're going to get two Splatoons. It just seems so strange of a priority, but I don't know, it kind of looks like it is a bit of a jump sort of graphic engine wise, so maybe there is a justification for there being a separate game rather than just, I don't know, adding more content to the existing one, because that content farm just kind of
this one has the Splatlands, which I think is an open world element.
I've got to say, I have never played any of the single-player Splatoon stuff, and I see people talk about like
that was
the
good
deep lore of Splatoon, and I just don't know what they're on about, but apparently it's there.
I wish
she's getting on the bus to go to the Mario Kart tournament for Nintendo Kart. Like, I was so excited for it to be something else, and then it was...
Or like a platformer. I thought it was Splatoon, but I thought it was going to be like a platform.
Like Sackboy's Big Adventure.
Yeah, just something. Because like, people, like Steven said, people love those characters in the world and the music. But I remember people were shocked when we were getting Splatoon 2, and people thought we would just get a deluxe edition. Yeah, with some new content, let alone two brand new games in a generation. That's rare for Nintendo.
I think at this point, they just need to kind of expand it a little bit more. And have like a really good single player, or even like maybe add like a co-op campaign for the single player or something. Because I feel like the multiplayer, they've nailed, maybe that's what the Splatlands is, but like, I feel like they've nailed the multiplayer with that series pretty well so far. But yeah, it's just so far away. It's such a, just yeah, like
2022
Splatoon games. Where's, I just want Metroid. Like,
that's the something. Theme of every Direct. Like, I feel like yeah. we're saying the same thing in September 2019. It's like, I think one of our friends pointed out that Prime 4 was announced in 2017. I'm like, oh God, it feels like it's been 70 years since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do we think we are getting? Okay. We still don't know what we're getting this holiday from Nintendo, really, do we at all? We don't have anything apart from potentially Breath of the Wild 2, which I feel like is not happening.
I don't think that's this year. I don't think we know anything, really. I feel like I don't know. What's the... what? Could Mario Kart has to be. If it's happening, it's happening this year, I think. We don't, right?
Do we think it's happening? I don't think it's happening.
Do we? You don't think it's happening at all? I'd still have a feeling like Metroid Prime Trilogy is going to be like August or something. But for their big game, like, I mean, I can't think of what they would do. Like, it's Donkey Kong's anniversary this year, but like...
And we think Pokemon. We've definitely Pokemon. Well,
yeah, I think Diamond. Like Diamond and Pearl is a lock-in for sure. Oh, that's it.
And I feel like, yeah, with Donkey Kong, weird. They've already ported all the games that they can. So like,
yeah, like a new one. What are they going to do? I don't know, Stephen.
Retro, I still cannot believe, yeah, years. What have Retro been doing for the last 5 years?
Yeah, yeah, literally. Like, maybe...
Porting Miitopia.
I swear, like, Metroid Prime 4 is going to be, like, the Duke Nukem forever. Like, it seems like it's gone between different development teams. It's just been going on for God knows how long, like... I really hope it's good, but the longer it goes on without us hearing anything about it, the more worried I get.
I think to, like, close this off, do we think new hardware is happening this year?
Oh, I hope so. I think a lot of games that have been coming out recently have been pushing up against the edge of what the Switch can do, like Bowser's Fury, for example, and either we're just going to have to get used to those limitations or Nintendo will push past them. I guess we'll have to see.
I think no. I think if a Switch Pro is happening, we'll see it with Breath of the Wild 2, and that would make the most sense. And I don't think that'll be this year. I think they're just going to ride the success of Animal Crossing, Mario Kart, and Switch sales all the way.
Yeah,
that's but so then depressing. It's going to get to the point where should it just be a new console? I don't know. I feel like time is running out. Like, we've been hearing Switch Pro stuff for like 18 months.
I mean, I wonder if they could just do, you know, kind of like what Xbox are doing. The, you know, Series X, Series S is really a continuation of the same platform. They could feasibly do that and either call it a Switch Pro or Switch 2. It's just...
I just don't want to go down the games. Wii U path again.
Super Nintendo Switch.
The new Switch. Anyway, we've gone off the rails, clearly.
All right, let's move on to a completely different direction in Xbox, who had a few smaller announcements this week. So they announced today, which just got lost in Facebook and Nintendo Direct, a FPS boost mode, which I think is like the PS4 Pro sort of boost mode that came about a year after its launch. So I don't fully understand it, but they've announced games such as Far Cry 4, New Super Lucky's Tales, Sniper Elite 4, UFC 4, and Watch Dogs 2 will get double the frame rate without the developer doing anything, which I get, but then I don't get why it's only these five or six games, unless it's a
snippet beta.
Snipper clips Elite 4. Does anyone else understand this a bit better than me? Because I get what it is, but I don't really understand.
Out of the gate, it's not. I don't think it's like the PS4 Pro boost mode at all. Like, I think it's... Because I feel like the PS5 and the Xbox already do that naturally. Like, if you play a game with an unlocked frame rate, it will go better. That's really good. You know what I mean?
It has more power.
It like, runs it was, better.
It's like we were talking before, on the previous generation, they were hitting the performance ceiling of the previous systems. And if you just take that ceiling out, it can just go as far as it can. But yeah, I think as you were saying, I think this is a bit more than just a boost mode. It seems like they're going back and adjusting the code in some way, shape or form of old games. I think they did pretty similar stuff for like the 4K 360 and Xbox games on Xbox One X and Series X, I imagine. Like I don't know if they're going back and adjusting the initial code or just doing some, I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing some wild thing where they can sort of adjust those games as they're playing so that they can render in a higher resolution than they originally did, or in this case, remove the FPS frame lock. And I guess it's something that you can't do across the board because some games it will just thoroughly break. It'll make the... it might break physics or something like that. That's probably why it's such a small list of games at the moment. But, God, this is really exciting. I really love that Xbox are taking the opposite approach to a lot of systems. I don't remember if it was PlayStation or someone at PlayStation who essentially said that we don't bother with backwards compatibility because no one plays old games anyway. And, like, honestly, at the moment, having old games play in 4K 60 is kind of... might sell me on a new Xbox. So, yeah, it's really awesome to me.
I think it's like, well, obviously the games they've picked, they're all games that are 30 frame. I'm not sure about UFC, but...
Super Lucky Tale's going to be 120 now, I think.
Yeah, so Super Lucky's in UFC, I feel like they would have been 60 originally, but the rest of them are all 30 FPS. They're also games that didn't get 1X patches or anything like that. Same with Watch Dogs. So... yeah, I think it makes sense for those games to do it. I'm assuming, engine-wise, like Steven said, they don't break when you run them at double speed, because some games do. Like, some games have animations and physics programmed just for 30 frames. So, but I think, like Steve said, like, I mean, as an example, like, everybody wants Bloodborne to run at 60, but there's no way that can happen because of the way it's been programmed, and apparently...
mods created.
I take that back. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a game that... but
it needs more work than just putting it on a better system.
It would need developer input, whereas I think this, once they kind of are like, oh, yeah, it's good, it's working out well, they can probably maybe open it up to more games, similar to what they've done with Auto HDR. Like, that adds... that uses... some kind of, like, AI learning to make your games play in HDR when they weren't originally. And most games that support that, unless they have some kind of weird drawback in doing it. Like, I was playing Dying Light this week, and it just looks and pops so much more, and it didn't have HDR originally, but because of Series X, it does. Or Series S. But I think it's really cool. I think it's, like, just the next kind of step in Xbox's kind of, like, honoring your old library and stuff that you bring with you, making them better.
I think it's really smart because it's bringing some of the features I kind of miss about PC gaming to consoles in a way that doesn't bring all of the complexity and annoyance of PC gaming along with it. Like, half the reason I played a PC was, back in the day, able to play like 360 games at 1080 60, and you just couldn't do that on consoles. And if I can, you know, if Xbox is able to give us that same experience in a more controlled or at least a curated way, so we're not having to stuff around with various things that can go wrong, it just works, and it works as well as it possibly can. That's a really good approach, I think.
Interesting. I feel like
don't
I've learned.
Don't you think,
Shannon? I still don't really get it, I'm not going to lie. I don't understand why they would bring it to these five or six games. Maybe it'll become clearer as time goes on.
I'm sure they're just going to add more. It's like backwards compatibility. Like, why do they bring certain games? Like, you know.
All right, enjoy your Snippet Elite 4 then in 120 FPS. Okay,
fuck it. I can't wait. Thanks.
The other announcement was a headset, an official wireless headset, which I think is their first one that they've done. They've only really done chat headsets. That might be wrong. Anyway,
they've done stereo, but they haven't done wireless before, I don't think.
Yeah, for sure. Released on March 16th, $150. Great features like fast charge and auto mute when you're not speaking, and obviously fully compatible with Xbox and PC. Brody, I know you've got a nice Steel Series headset, but would you be tempted by this knowing it'll be fully integrated with your console and just work well?
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't have the Steel Series, I'd certainly look at something like this. I think the price is pretty appealing, considering, you know, like these... your premium headsets that you can get, you know, they range in like the hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So $150 doesn't seem too bad for a good wireless headset that, like you say, is fully integrated and is just going to work the way you want it to. So I think it's good. I'm surprised it's taken them this long to get to it. Like everything else, they've hidden it in plain sight in like the Series X trailer that came out way before release. So it's amazing that it sort of has taken this long to surface, whether it was a manufacturing issue or they just didn't want to launch it at the same time as the console for whatever reason. But yeah, it looks all right. I think for the price, its features are good. But yeah, with the SteelSeries, I don't think I've got any requirement, unfortunately.
Yeah, awesome. Steven, I saw you tweeting about it, and I feel you probably know most about like acoustics and actual speakers and headphones. Like, what do you think we're going to get for $150 price-wise?
Well, yeah, I've been thinking about it a little bit, and I think when you compare it to other sort of similar wireless headsets, it seems quite cheap in comparison to, you know, like a SteelSeries or something. But it just occurred to me just a moment ago that like a lot of those wireless headsets will also have extra hardware, like a USB hub or some sort of breakout box that plugs into your console to communicate with the wireless headset. This mm-hmm. won't need that because it's all built into the console. So maybe some of the fact that it's cheaper is just that you don't need to have all this extra guff to work with an Xbox. It's all just using what's already in your console. I would say that, you know, if you're comparing it to a $150 wired headset or a good set of wired headphones, it's not going to be as good for music, but like if you want it for games, I'm sure it's going to be pretty great. Like the convenience of it being totally wireless, which personally I don't really see the point when the controller itself is wireless and you can just plug into that, but you know, I know other people have different situations. I'm curious to see if it has like a 3.5 mil headphone like input so that you can use it with things that aren't an Xbox, because that could be a bit of a deal breaker for some people. It'd be nice
even
to
the, like yeah
the I PS5 don't think I saw
one
that
a cable doesn't I, it I think the yeah. PS5 one has a cable, so if you don't charge it you can still use wired.
And I know right. like I've had friends that had the PS4 one and they used it on the Xbox. They just, you know, plugged it into the controller and that made it a good sort of dual use thing. But if this is only Xbox, and from the look of the specs I couldn't see anything about a headphone input, it was just like USB-C and wireless. It's like, I guess if you're all in on Xbox, but otherwise it might be a bit of a deal killer.
Yeah, for sure. James, I feel like you'll pick this up for sure.
No, not at all. I
you don't use headphones, do you?
Nah, because when I'm playing, I like to like, you know, assume the Jabba the Hutt position and lie down. So like, if you're lying one side of the head on the couch, you need to have one side free. So I have a chat headset. That's it at the moment.
Mate, all right. Thanks for that visual.
Jabba the Hutt. You're welcome, Australia.
Jabba the Hutt with a headset. That's me.
Close podcasting, government, please. And lastly, I just wanted to talk about Avengers coming to next gen, just because I feel like everyone had a comment on this week. Like, some people were keen to jump into it. Others were wondering why Square were bothering. But first, I wanted to start with you, Brody, because I know you've jumped into it this week for whatever reason. Have you been enjoying it?
I had a couple of days off, obviously. I've been a bit unwell. And I was just going through the games I've got on my Xbox, and I thought, hey, I've got Avengers. I might actually try that. I don't know why. I don't know what compelled me. I guess I've just run out of things to play.
I don't think you have.
No, well, probably not, but I was curious. And look, I obviously could have waited for this next-gen update. I've jumped in a bit early, sure. not sure why at this point. Like, I'm in the campaign, obviously, which is meant to be the good part of the game, and I'm not seeing it currently.
wow.
But I mean,
this is like glowing praise. Like, yeah. Whoever wants to buy it on next gen, now you want to.
I mean, I really like Kamala Khan as a character, and I like the arc that she's going through, but the game is just so drearily uninteresting. I just can't really see myself sticking with it for like 60 hours and beyond, you know, into the end game and stuff like that. I could give a fuck. So, I mean, will I come back to enjoy the Series X upgrades? Look, probably not. But, hey, if you're an Avengers person and you love the game, like Ewan, I tweeted about it. And he goes, "Oh, hey, man, if you're ready for the end game, I'll be there." And I was like, I don't think so. I don't think so.
poor Ewan.
So sorry, bud, but I can't see it unless you know. I just can't see it.
James, do you think people will come back for the next-gen version if they didn't play it on PS4 or Xbox One, or is it just too far gone now?
No. There's no, like, the game's issues aren't the visuals. Like, you can... There's so much you could fix otherwise. I just... So this is like what? It's like $200 million game. Like, that's a big budget. And like, I feel like at this point where it's at, like, you don't bring in Hawkeye and Kate Bishop to try and save it. Like, you bring in the big guns. Like, I'm sorry if there's like a Hawkeye fan listening or like
a single one.
Kate Bishop. No, I didn't mean it like that. Like, I don't know. I feel like you start bringing in the big guns, but they don't seem to be. And I just get upset because, like, Tomb Raider and Deus Ex both kind of died for this. And, like, it's just not getting... It's not coming back. Like, just...
You're not wrong, though. Like, surely now was the right time to bring Spider-Man for the PS5 version. Even,
yes, like, you know.
I'm a bit confused as well because aren't... like, I'm not a huge Marvel guy, to be honest, but... Aren't Hawkeye and Kate Bishop essentially the same character?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Why would you release them sequentially? And I don't know. It's, yeah, like you say, how is that going to drum up any interest whatsoever in having people back? It's crazy. It's crazy to me.
They just need to go like full...
Go
like,
fucking ham.
Stunt casting or something and add like a Care Bear or like...
Jabba the Hutt storms into the battle.
Or the T-1000.
Like Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. Or something like random. I don't know.
Just go
like
full Fortnite.
Yeah, just add something.
Add Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. Yeah, like add the Mandalorian.
I want to play as Baby Yoda.
And Mickey Mouse.
Sarah Connor from Dark Fate.
Yeah.
Wow, another specifically Terminator that one.
Yeah, yes. I don't know. Right. I feel bad because obviously people made this game, but like, I just feel like, I don't know. I just think abandoned hope now. Like, it's done. Anthem's not coming back. Neither is this.
It's sad because like, they obviously do have a long content path and like, at least to their credit, the content is free. But yeah, are they even going to get to Spider-Man if this comes out and nobody's playing the Hawkeye story? I can't see it, which would be sad.
Like, I just feel like, surely Hawkeye wasn't always their first planned DLC. Like, wasn't there, like, a leak of, like, they had Black Panther lined up, but then obviously Chadwick Boseman died?
I don't know if it was announced.
There was a leak of, like, 10 or so characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that was, like going to be the first character, but...
Like, in a situation when your game is struggling, you put your best foot forward, and your best foot is not two fucking people in a row who shoot arrows. No one gives a shit.
And, like, I'd even, like, adding, like, say, Scarlet Witch and Vision, like, at the moment would be a really good cross-promo kind of thing.
For
and
sure.
I thought, you know, the Marvel Factory would be good at getting all of that shit coordinated, but obviously not.
Yeah.
Fuck one. Like, and then you could do Winter Soldier for the next series. Like, I feel like they could have really done some really good, cool cross-promo stuff, but yeah. No.
Oh, WandaVision is so good. Ooh. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It is. Shut up.
Anyway.
On that note, let's jump over to everybody's favorite game show, What the Wiki. I'm not going to do you and spiel about the game show. If you've come this far, you know what it is, surely. Let's go through the scores. I am on 3 points. James is on 2. Harry is on 1. Ewan is on 0. Steven is on 0. And obviously, Brody is on 0, being his first time.
Hey.
Into no, the fray this
he's
year.
He's unscored
he,
so far.
He hasn't played, but he's on
That's
zero.
That's right. I'm not on zero.
No, he's not on zero. You're not on zero till you lose.
I haven't earned that zero yet. I will earn it.
Anyway.
All right. I'm here we go.
Good luck. Good luck to you.
This is if you thought the podcast was great, this is just gonna go to a new level.
Train wreck.
The game is a single-player platform game where the player controls two protagonists from a third-person perspective. The game features 9 three-dimensional worlds where the player must gather musical notes and jigsaw pieces
Brody.
To progress. Yes.
Is it Banjo-Kazooie?
It is... Banjo-Kazooie. Well done.
Daddy.
Hurry up.
Is there a theme?
The game consists of galaxies filled with minor planets and world with different variations of gravity, the central element of the gameplay.
Brody?
Oh.
I would assume not. It's not Super Mario Galaxy, is it?
I wish it wasn't, but it is Super Mario Galaxy.
I could have just pivoted and said it was two.
Well done, Brody. Wow. Yeah, it was a Nintendo theme this week, obviously.
Oh my god, groundbreaking.
Which is quite hard to do because you can't really be vague about a lot of Nintendo's titles, but well done, Brody. Hey, welcome thanks. To the scoring. Hey, no luck run zero.
That means I have to come back.
It does. Hopefully you can heal up.
Hopefully. Oh, great success.
It is. All right. On that note, let's bring an end to what was the Press Start podcast for this week.
It sure was.
James is devastated over that. No, I'm not. I've been your host, Shannon. You can follow me at ShanCake_. I've been joined by James.
Yeah, you can find me on @James, @JAMZ. You can see my live despair as the direct ended on my feed.
Steven.
Yeah, I'm at Steven Impson on all the social things. I post photos of restaurants I go to and a cool new pair of shoes I got for Christmas on Instagram.
Not the food,
so that's
just
exciting.
The photos of the outside.
I feel like you've had some hot takes recently. I feel like I'm always seeing a take.
Steven's always got a hot take.
Random things.
That's true. Well, look out for that too.
And Brody, the Gibbonator.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, you can follow me on most things at Brody_DG. I haven't really been tweeting about much. It's all Snyder Cut and Avengers, so it's a real shit show. So come on down.
What a nightmare. I just realized everyone that's coming here for the first time since the Facebook shutdown is going to get this. Quite possibly the best episode we've ever produced.
Exactly. You
Please
and who
come back, Ewan.
Is cut. All right, let's wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Yeah. Bye.
Ewan's like the Avengers. He's not coming back.
Oh. Bye.
He's the Hawkeye of the group. Bye. Oh. We miss you, Ewan.